Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Colin Carter Podcast, live from studio in Salt Lake City, Utah. We are so happy to be here today, bringing you all the best up-to-date information on technology, parenting, how to keep your kids safe in this crazy world they're growing up in. I am so happy today because I have two of my bros who flew in. One of them flew in from Palo Alto just to be here. I've got the founders and co-founders of Gab Wireless. If you don't know what Gab is, you're going to know about it by the end of this and just going to change your life. So please welcome to our studio, Mr. Stephen Dobby, Mr. Lance Black. Yay, welcome to the studio. Where's my clap? Welcome, guys.
Hey, glad to be here.
We can hear it. I've got a clap sound here. I got all these sounds. Oh my gosh. Let's get this board going. There they are. Welcome to our studio.
Feeling the love.
We got a studio audience.
We got a big studio audience here. But thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you, Colin.
I have been around, and people who know me who listen to this know that I've been going around for a couple years, speaking all over the country, everywhere I can, shouting, screaming to parents about the dangers of giving a kid a smartphone, giving them social media, giving them all the stuff that comes with, putting in their pocket, putting in the bedroom. And parents are trying to figure out what's going on with their kid after they give them a smartphone. How come I lost my kid? Where's my kid? Like, why have they changed so much? I thought giving them an iPhone was going to make them love me. And it turns out 2 months later, they resent their parents and they're struggling with their mental health. So I am so happy to have these two gents here because they have created something that for parents literally is going to be an answer to prayers. I've had moms say that to me after paranoid. Say that you introduced me to that Gab Wireless and I got it for my son and Colin. It was an answer to prayers. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. We'll put that as the one of the Google reviews for this company. But I got Steven and Lance here. And a lot of parents are starting to see and hear about Gab. I was driving down the freeway and see the new Gab billboards. People in Idaho said they saw the Gab billboards. Like, I saw one in Pocatello. I'm like, that's awesome. How did you see them? You're supposed to be in quarantine. Anyways, just kidding. But let's kick it off. Let me just kick it over to Steven here.
And there's something that I want to say before you kick it over to me.
Yeah. Do you want some background music for this?
I think this is important what I'm about to say.
The baby yeah. crying, if you can get the baby crying.
I think that people have an idea, but I'm not sure if any of us can really have an idea. You know, anybody that's been invited to do any degree of public speaking, you know, doing one public speaking engagement a month is somewhat taxing, or two or three. But when we start hearing of individuals speaking 500 times in a year.
Who would do that? That's insanity.
No, I mean this. And you don't give yourself enough credit for this, family. But I'm serious. Like, what you do, the difference that you make, it's really special.
You're talking to Lance here, right?
I'm talking to you, Colin.
Oh, my gosh.
But before we did anything, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of so many kids and so many families for the awareness that you bring. But you have a really cool approach, man, and that's one thing that I've appreciated. If you take a look at Gab, or you go to our website, gabwireless.com, or you start taking a look, Gab is a lot more than just a cellular network, and people are going to start to see that in the next 6 to 12 months. But some of the things that we address are really heavy. You know, when we're talking about suicide ideation, or we're talking about anxiety or depression, or we're talking about early exposure or to adult content or any of these things, these are pretty heavy topics. And so one thing that I've always appreciated about you, Colin, is you've been able to address these issues that are real, and you've been able to address them in a way that's super cool and entertaining and fun, but you always seem to get to the point. So before you even get over to Gab, you know, we're more than anything, we're grateful to be linking arms side by side with people like you and people like Carderas and people that are really passionate about, you know, helping society and making a difference. So anyway,
I just wanted to say
thank you to you, man.
I appreciate that. Sure, that was, we fist bumped. I did not ask you to do that, but now I feel very, very good. So thank
it's
you for
genuine,
that.
Dude. It's
Which
genuine.
Is great considering the fact that I haven't been able to speak in like a month and a half thanks to COVID. But you know what? We'll move on from there. I want to play a comment. Simon Sinek, who's one of our favorite British folks, said this. And I share this comment and this video clip whenever I do a parent night. And I just want to play, it's 42 seconds, when he was asked about the mental health crisis that we're in, especially with young people. So let's hear what he said. Here, I think I got this right here. It's teed up.
I can't even imagine what the suicide and homicide and just the rates of depression, you know, an accidental death due to overdose are going to look like in the future. It's going to reach epidemic proportions. It's already, the statistics are already alarming, and yet nobody's sounding any alarm bells. Parents have to intervene. We have to stop giving our kids free access to social media and phones at young ages. They are not ready for it.
They're not ready for it. So let's talk about this, because that's the issue I think we're facing. I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to this issue of anxiety, depression, mental health, suicide ideation, self-harming, which is catastrophic for our kids right now. Every place I go, every school I talk at, from coast to coast, the school counselors in elementary schools will say, oh yeah, we have fourth and fifth graders that are self-harming and filming it and putting it on TikTok or filming it, putting it on Instagram, just for attention, just for like, because they don't know what they're doing and they're learning about it. So there's such a big problem here. And so far, there wasn't a whole lot of solutions. So Stephen, tell the story of how this came to be and how Gab was visualized and created.
Cool. So it was in 2018, July. It was my son's birthday, and I just had to get him his first phone. And I do have two older daughters. And I've experienced this a little bit. I've built up a little scar tissue. You know, the first phone that I gave my oldest daughter was just a full-fledged device. And it was, you know what I mean? It was just a gift, and it was her birthday, and you know what I mean? I just had no idea. I just had no idea that it would be such a point of tension, the potential for that between parent and a child, and also some other dangers that lurked there. And so anyway, without getting too personal, my son turned 12 years old. It's time to get him his first phone. And I was excited about that. I went to one carrier and I left disappointed. I went to another. I don't remember. I don't know how long the whole process was, whether it was a week to 2 weeks or somewhere in between there. But I think the word that I would say is that I was consumed in this decision. And I don't know why, but I mean, it consumed me online, looking at other options, going to carriers, going to malls, going to all these places. And I was just absolutely blown away that I only had two options, and that was a flip phone and a full-fledged smartphone, regardless of the manufacturer. And I was just a little, you know, just kind of taken back. I remember one time I was driving down the road, and I saw in my mind, I saw what I was looking for, and I was really surprised that it wasn't there. And what I was looking for was a phone that had the hardware of a smartphone. But it had an adjusted operating system that made it a really cool place for kids to interact with technology for the very first time. And that's what I saw. And I was really surprised that it wasn't there. And I don't know why nobody created that. And so I set out on this mission to go ahead and not only create the device, but also to create an entirely new cellular network. Gab Wireless is the first ever cellular network dedicated to ages 8 to 16. And I created an entire cellular network, which sounds crazy because, you know, I've always had a little entrepreneurial spirit in me, but nothing of this magnitude. But that being said, there has never been anything that I've been this passionate about. And so I think when you couple that entrepreneurial spirit and you couple that with passion, I think really great things can happen, you know? So anyway, moral of the story is we're not there yet. You know, I'd love to, you know, the story isn't over, you know what I mean? But we have definitely seen a tremendous amount of traction, and we're turning some heads and we're doing some really cool things. And we've got a lot of support in every single state in the lower 48. And I'm really grateful for our customer base, and I'm really stoked about the direction we're going.
What's the kind of feedback you've gotten so far already from parents? I mean, this is not even year one, Lance. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from users, from parents, and from teenagers and kids who are on it?
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a common word that's in most all conversations. And from parents, it's finally. As a matter of fact, we use that word on a lot of our marketing material as well, because, you know, this encounter that Stephen had in 2018 with trying to find a phone thousands of parents have had that same experience. And so, yeah, the feedback we're getting from parents is finally. And, you know, it's not just parents who, you know, sometimes I think we position the phone or in the position that the phone is positioned in parents' mind as it's a safe phone, right? And it's and it is. It is a safe phone. We use that in our marketing. And it's for those that don't necessarily know, the Gab phone is it's a very cool looking phone.
I have mine. I have mine right here. Yeah, Steve, it looks exactly like every other smartphone out there.
It does, and the kids are proud to have it in their pocket, right? But it has fewer features. Mm-hmm. So it's imagine this
12
the phone
to be, 12 to be exact. There's 12 apps that come on the device.
Yeah,
day one, and the way that we can the way that I configure this is that, you know, it starts with 12 apps and kids can interact with those 12 apps from texting to calling to calculator to clock to, you know, I mean, just the basic functionality of the device.
Training wheels. Training wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're starting to see something even more than that. And I think maybe this is where Lance was going, but, and this is something that this is going to be a quote that I'm going to be saying a lot. The thief of opportunity today. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, is distraction. It's not your social class. It's not your gender. It's not your race. It's not the thief of opportunity for kids today, mm-hmm. to even be more specific with words. I believe it's distraction. And we're seeing stats now that say that every time a kid is distracted or anytime anyone is distracted, it takes on average 18 to 23 minutes to re-engage and get that degree of focus again. And so what we're seeing with Gab is, yes, there is a safety component to it, and I'm all about it, but we're seeing a lot more than that. We're seeing people living a much more intentional life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy to accomplish in 2020. So the vision of this, if you are a parent, you're listening to this right now, I really want you to understand this, that when your child is in school, they should be in school. They should be present in that classroom, engaged in the learning process. When your child is with a friend, they should be with that friend, engaged in that communication, increasing interpersonal communication skills, just connecting. When your child is playing a sport or developing a talent with music, the piano, the violin, whatever it is, whether they're getting their grind on and their stuff on, you know, and with supercross racing or moto or skateboarding or whatever it is, the point is that this Gab phone is it's a tool to help people live a much more intentional life. Does that make sense?
Big time.
And I'm really passionate about this, and you can tell as I'm speaking about it right now, because I mean, how many times has it happened to us as adults where we're sitting there in a conversation with our spouse or somebody really meaningful, and then all of a sudden, boom, we check out.
Yep.
And then it takes time to get back to where we were. And it doesn't matter where you are. Distraction is a very real thing today, but we have to understand with developing minds, we're talking 9, 10, 11, 12 year olds. This is a completely different animal,
The crazy thing, Colin, and you're aware of the stats. I mean, our kids are spending on average 9 hours a day on screen time.
That's unreal.
And think of the opportunity cost.
One study came out with that.
Yeah. Thank you. Think of the opportunity cost of that. What can you, who can you become? What can you do? What other skills and talents can you develop if you were not spending that much time? And so, you know, you asked what's the feedback from parents and kids? Parents are finally, and we've got a safe phone. We have an option and we can still be a hero and still be cool parents, but give our kids a solution. But the kids also recognize they don't love the distraction and the screen time. And secretly, when we get them one-on-one and we have conversations, they don't like the pressure that comes from the comparison society that social media brings. Yeah. and the lack of not living an intentional life, as Stephen talks about. And so the kids are embracing this as well. As a matter of fact, Stephen and I have talked recently about, we think we're not there yet, but we see a future, and we think we're close, where a kid with a Gab phone will look at a kid with a smartphone
sure.
and in disdain, like, dude, what are you doing?
What are we doing? Yeah. You're
wasting your life. Like, go live a life.
Almost like it's like cigarettes 2.0.
Yes.
Just looking at someone staring at their phone at line at Disneyland when it's like, that's the thing that kills me. We went to Disneyland a few months ago and just the amount of, now I know they use the app and people are waiting, checking line times and stuff, but the amount of people and kids that, and adults even, I mean, I know we're talking mainly about kids because that's our big thing, but how many are just so consumed by what's on a screen and missing everything is out there. And that's one of the messages I try and share when I talk to kids at school is this technology is not bad. Smartphones aren't inherently bad, but what are they stopping you from being able to accomplish, right? What are they preventing you? One of my favorite photos that I share at Parent Nights is a photo from, is of someone photoshopped the boy, what's his name, from Sword in the Stone. And the sword is in the stone behind him. Instead of pulling it out, he's sitting on the thing holding his phone. And that sword just sitting there. And I tell the kids, I'm like, look, that sword's not going to pull itself. And all of you have a sword, which is your destiny, which is why you're here. Like, dude, your goals out riding motorbikes or out chasing your dreams. How many of you are falling victim to this addictive technology that is stopping you? So parents love seeing their kids out there. I think one thing that's been awesome about the last couple months of us being, you know, people being quarantined is so many kids are out exploring new hobbies and putting their phones down. I think hopefully this, you know, I think a Gab phone would be a great, you know, follow-up resource for kids who are like, wait a second, I just spent the last 3 years of my life staring at a phone 9 hours a day. Like, right. Dude, I did a double backflip on my trampoline. Like, this is awesome.
You know, in conjunction with that, I don't know if you've ever heard of the name BJ Fogg. Stanford. Okay. This is somebody that specializes in something that he calls tiny habits. And this is somebody that has provided a lot of one-on-one consulting with big tech firms over in the Palo Alto area. He said something really interesting, and I'm pulling this up. I actually almost sent him a tweet today. I don't know him personally, but I've heard of this, and I've looked it up. And this is what the tweet says from BJ. A company asked for my 2020 prediction. Here it is. And then he says in parentheses, please don't be offended.
I love when people start sentences with that.
Someone says, please don't be offended.
Yeah. I don't want to be offensive here. I'm like, yes, let's go. Lay it on me.
So here it is. A company asked for my 2020 prediction. Here it is. Please don't be offended. A movement to be post-digital will emerge in 2020. We will start to realize that being chained to your mobile phone is a low status behavior similar to smoking.
Low status behavior. That's
his word is low status.
Yeah.
And I'm not huge on Twitter, but I almost sent him a tweet saying, BJ, it's starting and Gab is at the front.
Absolutely.
Because when people start to see what's, you know, we've been doing a lot of heavy lifting at Gab for the last 6-8 months on one particular project in general. And, you know, when that comes out here soon, people are going to start to see that Gab is creating a way to make it really cool to not be on the phone.
Gab Start is like a solution for parents to give their kids something that's not a crazy, but now you're talking how this is going to be able to help out parents and adults who are hooked to their phones too.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that this has evolved to the point to where kids are going to want this device.
There we go.
And that's where it needs to be. And so we've done some really cool things. You're going to see that in a little bit on how making it so that kids will almost be like, dude, why would you waste your life on that phone when you could be doing skateboarding or you could be supercross or you could excel in music? Or what about just academic proficiency? You know, you head over to Palo Alto and my goodness, you see a whole different degree of game brought from the academics. And I've really loved being in this area. And seeing the schools and how they think and how they approach things, it's been really cool. So anyway, for what it's worth, I really do like that quote. And Gab is right on the forefront of something really special. So
let's talk about one thing I don't think a lot of parents realize what they're doing. Now, Nick Carderis, you know Nick, Dr. Carderis wrote Glow Kids, which I have 36 copies standing on my desk right there. I hand these out at Parent Nights. It's my favorite book ever. That book is the reason we went screen-free 2.5 years ago with all 4 of our kids. But Nick Carderis has a line in there, which I love, where he said something to the effect of, parents have been willfully blind to what this technology is doing to their kids, and in doing so have thrown their children under the digital bus. So my question next is, Since we've been so used to having all of this technology, I know probably a lot of parents are worried about, you know, I hear from parents, they're so afraid of their kids' reactions. You know, what do I say to my kid when it's like, hey, I don't want you to have an iPhone, which is spending 12 hours of your day on, and there's the pornography and the social media and the tons of garbage and filth and waste of time. But how do I convert my kid into a Gab phone user? Because there's a literal addiction there, right?
Yeah, that's a great comment, Colin. You know, the Gab phone is not for your 17-year-old who has 4 years of history on an iPhone, right? Because in some parents that may be the appropriate thing, especially if they've seen some bad consequences from that. But we are the child's first phone, right? So when your 12-year-old comes to you, you have an option now with the Gab phone. When your 8-year-old comes to you, and maybe you're the type of parent that is fine with that, and I'm with a Gab phone, I would be completely comfortable with giving my 8-year-old a Gab phone. So don't think of it so much of, hey, we're going to go to our 18-year-old or our 17-year-old and yank their phone from them and give them a Gab phone, because those are conversations that are pretty tough to have, and and we're not really positioned that way, right? We're positioned as the first solution for your kid.
Yeah, and it's tough to go back, man. I mean, it's tough to go back when a person's had a full-fledged smartphone. I think that the best way, you know, if I'm talking to a parent right now who maybe is experiencing some conflict or stress around a device with a child, you know, a 15, 16, 17-year-old, you know, what can you do so that child wants to simplify their life and live a more intentional life? You know, that's going to be the right approach with that. Like the last thing we're about is using our product as a threat. Like, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to get this. You know what I mean? It's quite.
So help me, Tanner, I will get you a Gab.
Yeah. That's the last thing that, we're about. You know what I mean? Once again, and here's the other thing I'll talk about when it comes to this four-letter word, fear, as parents, you really have to find the balance of being aware of some of the challenges, but not ever having fear as the primary motivator in anything that we do. I think that when we come to teaching our children, encouraging, inspiring, and flat out just doing something with your kid, you know, the one thing, if someone were to say, hey, what advice would you give to parents right now? My advice to parents would be put your phone away and go do something with your kid. And lead from the front. Lead by example. There are too many boys that have never been fishing with their dad. And there's too many girls that have never been shopping with the mom. Mm. Or maybe it's the dad.
Well, I don't know about that. I think every girl has been shopping with
their
mom.
There's too many, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm just saying that there's
quality
too
time.
Many quality time. Yeah. And that's the second thing that Gab's all about. So first is this intentional lifestyle. The second thing that Gab is really all about is helping people live a much more meaningful life, and especially when we're talking about the relationships that are so close. And so if I were to say anything to a parent right now, I'd say, you know, with a fist bump saying, I fully get it. Dads, you've got to put this device away, and you've got to go connect with your kids in a very real and also in a very intentional way, and be very specific with what you're after there. You know what I mean? And that's tough. I mean, that's tough to do. But that's probably what I would say.
It's one of the most, I get messaged on Instagram from kids all day long, especially after I give speeches at their school. And one of the saddest messages I get, and I get at least a couple of these a day, is, Colin, that was amazing. It was life-changing information for me as a teenager. But how do I help my dad with this? You're talking about me, you know, breaking free from my phone addiction, from my addiction to social media, which I'm just throwing the best years of my teenage life on. How do I get my dad and mom to get off their phones? And honestly, like, I'm trying to find an answer for that. But you know, when parents ask me all the time, like, why are my kids so struggling with their phone? Why are they struggling with social media? Usually my first thought is, I always want to say, well, kids don't really hear us. They see us, right? Like, let's look at yours. I'm like, pull out your Instagram feed. Why is my daughter so obsessed with taking selfies all day? Pull up your Instagram feed, mom. And like, just nonstop 8,000 Instagram posts of just selfie. And, you know, so kids need better. We need to be better examples as parents with our tech use.
Colin, I'm not going to make any official announcements here.
But wait, let me get the drum roll one. I think I got a drum roll here. There we go. Hey. Oh my gosh.
I said I'm not going to make any official announcements here.
We'll take that off.
But I just might have something in my back pocket that people will be hearing about soon in regards to this as well. Awesome. Because we understand that this is a challenge. And I think that there's a lot of parents that would like to disconnect. I think it gets really, really tough, man. I mean, if you're seeing like a 9-to-5, I can't speak on behalf of like a mom or a woman. You know what I mean? I'm
sure
not the right gender.
Not yet, at least.
I can see how many, you know, dads are out there. They're getting to the office. They're on their phone. They're texting, their email. They're going from Zoom. They're going to different meetings. They're driving home. They're still doing the same thing. You know, they walk.
Work never ends for a lot of dads.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Work never ends for a lot of people. And so we do have something that we've been working on and developing to help with this situation as well, to help parents so that they can disconnect and make it easier to focus as well. And so once again, I'm not able to make any official announcements on that, but that's something that we've also been doing a considerable amount of work on as well. This is just as much of a challenge for adults as it is with kids, you know?
You know, and I think, Colin, too, and I don't know that I know the answer of what parents can do. I think I have some ideas, but I think it's important to note that parents don't start out trying, they don't intentionally say, I'm going to try to ruin my kid's life by buying them a smartphone at 12, right?
You want to increase sleep deprivation, anxiety, depression?
Yeah, you
want to get a smartphone. I think you're ready for a porn addiction, Connor.
Let's start that porn addiction right now.
Remember how you like your childhood? Let's destroy it right now with this phone.
When I was a child, I was doing this and this and that, but I don't want you to have the same life I did.
Go in your room and just hate your life and be depressed, okay? Yeah. Like, you're bugging me.
So we don't have intentions of parents to do that, but somehow we do it unwillingly or unknowingly, I should say. And not only do we get them this device, but we also get everything with it. Let's spend the extra $150 and get the $1,050 iPhone. Oh, and let's get unlimited everything. And oh, they can have unlimited data and they can stream Netflix for free. Yeah, let's get that one.
This thing can raise my kid for me. Jeez.
And then I think all of a sudden there's an awakening later on, and they're like, oh wow, my daughter really is a little more, to herself, and goes into her room a little bit more. And she really has a straining relationship with her friends that used to come over, and now they don't anymore. And so parents, I think my answer to your question would be, parents have to look inwardly and they say, okay, how can I change? And you know, the way you change in human relationships, the way you change another individual is you change yourself.
Yeah, I think a lot of parents are parenting from a place of guilt. I think parents know it's we're in an exhaustion culture right now where a sign of affluence is just being exhausted. And so parents, I think social media has a lot to do with that too. I mean, parents are on Facebook, you know, showing the world how busy they are all the time. So I think a lot of parents need to realize that you got to stop parenting from a place of guilt. Well, all of their friends have an iPhone and they're in second grade. Like I feel bad. They're, you know, this Stephen talked about fear like this. We have to stop raising our kids afraid of how they're going to react. We got to stop worrying about, parents have to stop worrying about how, what they're going to look like in front of their friends based on what their kids do or don't do. And just put our kids' safety, mental health above being the cool parent. Now I want to bring this in. So Amy Marin's one of my favorite people. She speaks a lot and she's a psychologist, and she wrote this article, which was entitled 10 Reasons Why Teenagers Have So Much Anxiety Today. I mean, it's no secret that young people are struggling with anxiety, and everyone's trying to push, you know, is it video games? Is it sugar? Like, is it the economy? What is it? And based on her study, the top 10 reasons why young people have more anxiety today, number one, she said electronics. And this is what she said. She said constant access to digital devices are letting kids escape uncomfortable emotions like boredom, loneliness, and sadness by immersing themselves in games when they're in the car or chatting on social media when they're sent to their rooms. And now we're seeing what happens when an entire generation has spent their entire childhood avoiding discomfort. The electronics are replacing opportunities to develop mental strength, and they aren't gaining the coping skills they need to handle everyday challenges. Stephen, what are your thoughts on that?
Balance is tough to find with technology. It's just difficult. And I totally agree with this quote. As adults, If we're not careful, we can start turning to our screens in moments of sadness or frustration or disappointment. And it almost turns to this comfort thing. And so we need to be really careful with kids that, you know, especially during the ages of 8 to 16, that's where there's a lot of development in learning how to deal with these emotions in positive ways. You know, I saw something recently that said, please give your kids enough time to be bored.
Yeah.
Because it's in those moments they discover things that they really like to do. And that's powerful when you start looking at that. You know what I mean? But if there's so much tech at the fingertips at all given moments that anytime they're bored, they're just turning to the screen, that they're losing this opportunity to discover things that they're really curious about or passionate about, whether it's a, you know what I mean? It's get outside and doing something. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly spot on. I'm trying to think, you know, when back when I was 11, 10, 11, 12 years old, 1980 time frame, if that dates me, boredom brought creativity. When you're bored, then that's when you got together with your friends and says, what can we go destroy or what can we build, right? And
who's got matches?
Yeah. Hey, there's not enough broken windows today.
We don't have any. That's right.
What about the window repairman companies? We got to start helping them.
Yes. Yeah. There's not enough fires and broken arms and exactly.
Right. Yeah, I remember, I remember my, around that age, tearing apart a washing machine that my parents had in the backyard just to try to figure out how it worked, and then pulling out the motor and then seeing what happens if I plug that into the wall socket, and smoke happened. And
is that why you have no eyebrows? That's right, the eyebrows are gone.
But you know, it's creativity instead of falling back on our crutch. What's our crutch? Our crutch is a screen. And somehow I don't personally know all the science behind it, but somehow it injects endorphins in our brain that that gives us these feelings of euphoria and happiness that are artificial. They're fake. They're lies.
And as a parent, it is so much easier when your kid is screaming. I mean, how many times have you been in a grocery store and you see a baby that's 9 months old that's just having a fit? And instead of soothing the baby, instead of picking him up and talking to him, we just throw a phone in their face. And so I think what Amy Marin's saying here, and as I talk to therapists and, you know, people besides us that actually have gone to school for this stuff, they say the same thing, that kids aren't learning how to cope with any feelings at all. And then we wonder why at 12 or 13, when it's the most minute, smallest world problem in their life, their first thought is, I need to cut myself or I need to go swallow a bottle of pills. They're not learning how to cope. And I think if parents could just realize that if I'm growing up as a kid, 8 years old, 9 years old, knowing that whenever I feel awkward, whenever I feel unhappy, whenever I have any of those negative feelings, those yuckies, if I have a way to distract myself from feeling those feels, they're not going to learn how to cope with this. And the way the teenage brain works, from my lengthy experience of reading these books on it, is that as these brains are developed, if they're not creating pathways of, okay, if I feel awkward, my parents are fighting and I feel this really awkward, this negative feeling, and I'm just going to pull up a phone and just scroll through TikTok and then numb that feeling, and the brain's going to prune it off. These kids are, the brain will literally prune off their ability to deal with those feelings and just going to say, hey, we don't need this. And then we wonder why, when they're 19, 20, 22, you know, some of these people lose a job and their first thought is, I guess I'll go shoot up my coworkers. I mean, there's just no healthy coping. I think a lot of this is the screen. And I'm worried. That's why I'm so glad Gab is such a blessing right now. And I wish it came out. I mean, that's the other thing I'm sure parents say, like, where were you guys 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys were doing, but why'd you guys wait so long? I'm really worried about the generation of kids right now that are 16, 17, 18, 19 that have been doing this for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. When they become young adults, when they get to the workplace, and how handicapped, I'm worried that they're going to be, not just mentally, emotionally, physically, to be able to handle life when you have a boss who doesn't like your work. You know, I have a buddy who works at one of these Silicon Slope, Utah software companies. Like, dude, we have guys that are 20, 21 with 80,000 of your base jobs that one wrong thing happens and they quit, you know, the boss says something they don't like and they quit or they freak out. And in my generation, I mean, I was, you know, I'm a young old millennial, but we just dealt with this stuff, you know? And so I'm glad that Gab is a solution for this. One of my favorite articles I read on Gab was from BuzzFeed when they did an article on Gab, and they said the dumbest phone in the world is maybe Genius. for whatever. Parents.
Somebody said that?
This is from BuzzFeed.
I love it.
The dumbest phone in the world may be genius. Gab is the only smartphone with no browser, no apps, no email. Is this heaven? Or is it just made for 11-year-olds? Steven, what are your thoughts on that? Now, this is actually a really good article that was written.
I'm going to go back to say what I said before. Balance is really tough to find with technology. And the boundaries need to be very clear. Now, I'm removing myself from Gab right now, and I'm speaking as a parent.
And you have a few kids, right? What was it, two?
We
two or three, I think it was. Oh, seven. That's no, right. No. So eight. Oh, my gosh.
I'm speaking now as Stephen Dalby. I'm not speaking on behalf of Gab. I just keep going back to this intentional life. And I know this sounds crazy, but like I'm telling my kids, when you're doing homework on your laptop and you're doing Zoom, do homework. No games.
They don't show the other eight browsers they have open.
Do your homework. But dad, we want to play games. All right, cool. So I got him a PS4. Cool. I will get you a PS4 if you promise on paper and with me personally that when you are on the computer, you are only doing your homework. And so that you can have an intentional life. If you want to play a game, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm fine with FIFA. I'm fine with 2K. You know what I mean? There's not going to be any violent games in my home. You know, I've got some parameters on that. But the whole thing in how I think and how I approach technology is there has to be boundaries created. And it has to be intentional. And so what I'm trying as a parent, what I'm trying to teach my kids is if you want to play a game, go play a game. You know what I mean? But when you're doing homework, do your homework. And when you're talking with a friend, talk with your friend, look them in the eye. Yeah. When you're playing a sport, you know what I mean? And focus on what you're doing at that time. Because what I'm starting to see, you know, and I'm not going to say the university, but a very prestigious university, they don't want this information leaking. But I heard recently that 25% of the freshman class of a very prestigious university, the kids checked out and they left. Dropped out because they didn't know how to cope. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly kind of with what you're talking about. And so it all blends in together with me in trying to find balance with technology. My approach, which may not be the right approach for anybody else, but it's what I'm trying to teach my kids. I just want them to be doing what they're doing when they're doing it. And to really focus on that. And sometimes there is sadness, and sometimes there is frustration, and sometimes there's happiness. But, you know, it's that whole intentional lifestyle. I keep going back to that column because it's super important to me. Now, there's something that I just want to chime in and say, you know, when you personally are talking, Colin, about, you know, pills, and you're talking about kind of cutting and some of these things that are very heavy, I'm going to go ahead and make a shout out for you right now because there's people listening to this that are like, whoa, like that got heavy pretty quick. Here's what you don't understand. If you were a parent right now listening to this, what you don't understand is that every single morning when Colin Karchner wakes up, there's kids reaching out saying, I just attempted last night. Mm-hmm. And so for some reason, this individual, Colin Karchner, when he goes and speaks at schools, there is such an approach and there is such an authenticity to how he speaks that kids feel comfortable opening up and talking about that. And, you know, I've said it before, who's going to pay for Colin's, like, who's going to pay for this, the counseling that Colin's going to need after, like, helping literally
Can we set up a GoFundMe? Kids,
right? But, you know, and Colin, you're going to be able to speak this more than I would. But, you know, if you look at their profile is this happy kid smiling, but what they're feeling is so different. And they just don't know how to cope with those emotions because they've gotten in the pattern of just turning to a phone.
Yep. Yep. And you know what? What's so hard to see is that, I want parents to realize this, that if you just throw it over to your kid, untethered access to these apps, that when you say that it's hard to balance, This has all been done deliberately. The technology has been created deliberately to make it impossible to balance. Absolutely. We use, you talk about the endorphins. We know that Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, that they all use these different types of mechanisms to trigger dopamine release to get you to keep coming back and create a behavioral addiction cycle. And that's why kids can't play. But what parents need to realize is that kids don't, at 8, 9, 12, 13, they don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they stand. They're trying on new avatars every day of who they think they might be. You throw social media into that mix, and eventually what's going to happen is that kid is going to care more about who they are on this device than who they are in real life. And then what parents were sadly, the saddest stories is when they say, my kid, I got a message this morning from mom. My 14-year-old daughter is at uni for a suicide attempt. We're just grief stricken because she's barely hanging on. And I said, what happened? She said, well, she was messing up. We finally checked her phone and she was doing bad stuff on Snapchat. So I took her phone away. And when she found and she realized in her little 14-year-old brain that my device is gone, her thought was, I don't even want to exist anymore. I don't want to live. Kids are growing up with these devices. If we leave them untethered, if they're not monitored and balanced by parents who are engaged with their kids daily. I mean, you can give them a smartphone, no problem, but it's going to be a full-time job to monitor everything. You're going to have to quit your day job and download 19 apps and you're going to have to pay $80 a month to monitor them. And you're going to have to learn a whole new language because the second you get one app figured out, there's a new one, right? Kids are always going to be faster, smarter than parents. But the problem is that parents, you got to stop being afraid of the technology. And that's why my last question is because this is probably the biggest, most just my, oh, I
can
hate
I,
this.
Can I make one comment? Yeah, yeah, yeah. There, Colin?
And then I'm going to tell you the biggest excuse I get from parents that drives me up the wall. And we'll end with that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a teaser. Stay tuned, folks. And we're going to get
next up.
You know, I think as parents, and you're a big advocate of this, we have to realize that there are people who are financially incented to figure out ways to addict our kids to these devices.
Yes.
And they're smarter than the three of us sitting in this room, and they're paid a lot of money, whether they're technologists or they're marketers. They're not smarter than Stephen, he's saying. They're smarter than the two of us.
Three of us.
So just a silly story. So my family, we love to go to Lake Powell. One of the reasons I love to go to Lake Powell is cell phones don't work there, right? But my kids bring their friends. And I remember you're talking about there's things built in, algorithms and so forth. So Snapchat has this thing called streaks, right?
Yeah.
And I found myself, my daughter's friends were asking me to give them a ride out into the main channel so that they could get cell service so that they could continue their streak going. And, you know, it's just nuts. And so,
and the streaks were created for one reason. We all know this with Snapchat. Said, how do we get our kids to open our app at least twice a day? Yeah. Here's the sad thing. I've had kids message me that have attempted suicide because they lost their streaks or their mom took their phone for a day. I had a paramedic once about a year ago say we had a 14-year-old girl on the chair, wheeling her out to the ambulance, taking her to the hospital because of a suicide attempt. And she was screaming. And here's what happened. Her phone fell off the back of mom's car and the screen shattered. And she thought because the screen shattered, the phone wouldn't turn on. She thought she lost her Snapchat streaks. And her only thought was, I don't want to exist in this world.
Wow.
That's the kind of scary. Now, I'm not trying to scare all the parents, but that's just the technology. That's how good they are at this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I said this once, and I'll say it again to parents all the time. This is an experiment, and our kids have been guinea pigs, and parents are willingly throwing their kids in this experiment. Mm-hmm. Now, and we're doing that because we're in the experiment too. And I think a lot of parents are like, well, I have social media. And it's not a big deal, so why can't my kids have it, right? But I am not willing. My oldest is eighth grade, going ninth grade. She has a Gab, no social media. And I'm not going to let her have it as long as possible because I'm not willing to let my kids be part of this experiment. I mean, mm-hmm. It took, 75 years before they threw a Surgeon General warning on cigarettes to say, hey, these things kill you. I think we're going to see that one day on iPhones, mm-hmm. warning, or on apps, warning, downloading TikTok if you're under 18 has the potential to do horrible things to your mental health, mm-hmm. right? And until then, I think parents need to step up and just take responsibility. And now the big excuse I get, I'm going to ask Stephen this, from parents, as they say this all the time, not usually to me because they know who I am and they know I would just shred them for this, but they say, you know what? Colin, you talk about all these apps. You talk about Snapchat, TikTok, and, you know, kids getting asked for nude photos from grown adults when they're 12 and all this stuff. And they say, well, this is just the way it is. This is just life. This is just how it is. And there's nothing you can do about it. So just teach your kids the best you can and hope they make good decisions. I can't trust my 13-year-old to properly rinse the conditioner out of her hair. How on earth, Stephen, am I supposed to trust my 13-year-old daughter to not make horrible decisions with apps like Snapchat or TikTok that most adults can't handle?
Yeah, this is what I would say to that. Dopamine is not very logical.
I'm Googling as you speak. Dopamine. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
That's what I mean. It's not logical. These little stints that we get in our minds that, you know, the pleasure center of the brain, technology in many ways is designed to go ahead and give us some little positive stints of dopamine. And so when we have a parent that says to their child, hey, just can you just put that away? I really want to communicate this right now to parents. The answer is no. They can't put that away.
And it's not the kid's
this
fault.
This is not the kid's fault. You're dealing with something. You're dealing with an animal that is a lot bigger than you have any idea. And it's scary. And so what the one thing that I would just say is we do have to be careful. There is a protection component of GAB. And, you know, during this podcast, you know, I have focused a lot on living an intentional life. And I've focused on trying to find balance with technology. But we do need to be aware of some of the risks that are out there with our children. And the way things are not the way that things will always be. And you know what? That's why GAB is here. And you're going to be seeing a lot more from this brand. You're going to be seeing a lot more that we're able to do to help families to have more balance with technology. You're going to be seeing that GAB is going to be doing a lot of educational components in the future, teaching kids. Listen, I know this sounds crazy, but can I just say one thing, Colin, real quick?
Sure, yeah.
Parents, you please make sure that your child is turning in their device into a central location in the home before they go to bed, even with a GAB phone. It is alarming to me, the data and the research and the stats that I see on the negative outcomes that take place with sleep deprivation. And I just want you to see the cycle of this. It only takes one time of sleep deprivation, we get the kiddo up all night. You know, an all-nighter for us is when we're all hanging out, we're having a sleepover. An all-nighter for these kids is they're alone in a room on a screen swiping all night. They don't sleep then, and all of a sudden it's time for school. And so now they go to school, they're sleep deprived. Now they're checking out, they're sleeping in class, they're not engaged. Now they're getting behind in academics. That's going to create anxiety, that creates stress, and it's this vicious cycle. And so the one thing, if there was like one behavior that I wish, regardless of whatever phone that your child has, I would really encourage and even ask, please make sure that there's a central location in the home, or parents, have it be in your room.
On the dresser, yeah.
Somewhere that it is out of sight, out of mind. Let the child have a moment alone. Have them read. Have them write in their journal. Have them have a really healthy bedtime routine. Make sure that they're getting the proper rest that they need so that they can go and they can conquer and be amazing, because the kids today are amazing. These guys, what they are up against is unlike anything that we've seen before. They are amazing. And let's help them be, you know what I mean, reach the potential that they have. And as crazy as it sounds, one small thing as a parent, like, hey, everybody turn in your phones at such and such time. As a parent, you decide that time. You decide where it's going to be. That one decision might be the maker or breaker for the success of your child. It is that important of a behavior.
Awesome. Well, I think we could talk forever, and I wish we could, but we can't. But that was amazing. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. And you know, one thing I love about GAB too is I'm not going to give my 13-year-old an iPhone that's $1,200. $600 or $900 because she will lose it in 4 seconds. And the screen will be cracked in less than 4 seconds. And the Gab phones are what, $99? Monthly payment's really cheap. So this, I mean, it's one of those things where my daughter loses this Gab phone, which I'm holding my hand right now. If she lost this, like, I'm not gonna throw her out the window. It's not gonna kill us. But this has been really good. I love the conversation. Love you guys and love what you guys are doing. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest who flew in, Stephen, just for this, I wish. And Lance, thank you so much for coming in. You can tune into more that I'm doing on Instagram. Follow me to @ColinKarchner on Instagram. You can go check out more about Gab Wireless at gabwireless.com. There's new stuff coming out, what Stephen's talking about. Should be coming out. I'm excited to see what that is. Thank you and have a great day.